This is Andro Mamo, and today I really have the distinct honor. I've watched this man over the last couple of years entertain me, make me laugh at times when I just felt like the world was ending. Today I have the distinct honor of going one-on-one with Mr. Leo Gonzalez. How you doing?
Thank you so much. This is such a great place to have you.
No, seriously though, amazing. Like thank you for opening up your house to us. I mean, I feel like we destroyed your home, but seriously, thank you so much.
No, thank you. You'll help me put it back, so
let's get it. Good. No, seriously, though, like, how has this been for you, like, the last couple of years, from the first post on TikTok to literally where we are right now, sitting here talking? How has that journey been?
It's been so wild. It's been so, I think it's just unbelievable is what it's been. Yeah. I think it's confusing. Such an honor.
No, seriously. So let's talk about the upbringing. You grew up in Hanford, California. What was life like growing up?
Yeah, life was, there was a lot going on when I was growing up. I grew up going a bunch to a church there where I volunteered a bunch. I found it when I was 10 years old, and I never let go of that church. I have now. But I think growing up, I spent my whole childhood there doing all the youth programs until I became a youth leader. And then I went to camp and was a counselor with them. And I was did another church, not in Hanford, doing their youth department stuff. So I spent a lot of time there. So that occupied a bunch of my time. And I feel like I really needed that. And it was great.
As a kid, can you recall like the first time you ever made somebody laugh?
You know what? Like, I feel like the earliest like time that I remember trying to be funny was when I was in fifth or sixth grade. I remember sixth grade, I started like making like my classmates laugh, but it was but then I'd like play it off, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to get in trouble because I was still a pick me for the teacher. And it was during that time, I think. Yeah.
From that first time making somebody laugh, do you feel like from childhood you were kind of like hooked? You knew that this is what you wanted to kind of like pursue eventually?
You know what? I didn't even want to pursue it.
No way.
No, I didn't. I never thought that I would actually try to do something like this. I was studying journalism for a long time. I think I wanted to do what you're doing, and do storytelling and do interviews.
Wow.
That's what I really wanted to do. That's what I went to school for, because I think for me it was like I want to interview funny people,
mm-hmm.
and I want right. to interview people that give us emotion. I don't know, I, you know, 2020, I was in Nevada, and that's where I kind of made my first video, and then I think I kind of just started coming this way.
What kind of made you switch from saying, you know what, I'm going to be a journalist to actually kind of like taking action and pursuing comedy?
I had applied to be a news reporter at the station that I was already working at. I'd been there for a few months. I spent a few years doing other local stations, doing production. And I applied. I did my reel. I thought it was good. And then I think they didn't think so. So they didn't hire me for that. And I think one day I just decided to try the green screen out, the weather green screen and for TikTok. And I just got kind of traction that night. And I think I'm still... Right now, I'm still kind of like, I think this is what I'm doing for a
yeah.
while.
You know? Obviously, you didn't want to go into being like a comedian at first, but like the fact that this is what your life turned out to be. As a kid, do you think you could have ever imagined what would have happened?
No, I think like I still have like weird moments and like things hit me a little later. You know, I did last year, I did like my first like acting on a Hulu show, and then last week I did a Netflix movie, and I was like thinking like it's just so strange. Like I don't think that was never in my plan,
mm-hmm.
and So it, but what I will say is like, it takes me so long for it to catch up to me.
Wow.
You know, I did some skits with George Lopez in like, I think in 2021, and I had just moved to LA. And it took me a few weeks after we did some skits and I did this podcast, maybe like 3 weeks later or so. I remember I was like sitting in my apartment and my roommates were gone, and I just started like bawling that day. Cause I was like, what the heck? Like, I can't believe that happened. Cause I was such a fan of him growing
up. You know? That's crazy. So when I met him for the first time, it was for Big Boy's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yeah. I had nominated Big Boy. So I'll never forget the first two people that were there. I showed up really early and it was me and George. And we were there for like probably like 20 minutes before another head showed up. So that was my opportunity to just kind of like go up to him and just kind of like say thank you for my childhood. You know what I mean? Like, you grow up and you, like, in a lot of ways, I kind of saw myself through him. Like, I wanted to do that. So for you, when you met him, was it kind of like, wow, like this is happening? Like, the person that I looked up to as a kid, like, you'd wake up. I mean, I'd wake up at 3 a.m, but it was a primetime show. Like, this show was so prominent. And now you're making skits with him. You're in the same sentence with him. Mm. How does that feel for you?
Yeah, no, it was just so surreal. I think I was such a fan. So I was super into watching the sitcom on ABC, but I was watching everything. I remember I was like, when Henry Poole Is Here came out, I knew he was in that, and Swing Vote, and even later on when he did like Spare Parts. Like, I was watching everything that he was. I was like, Spy I don't Kids. Care. Like, if his head was in it, I was watching it. Yeah, like, and only his head. So it's just surreal, and it's just for me, it feels so. It starts to feel so full circle. Which obviously you can vouch for on in your life, just these full circle moments of like wow, this is crazy. This is just a wild life experience, and it's so special.
Yeah, and you know what's really cool is the fact of the matter is kind of like you grew up in Hanford, and eventually, like after all these years, you moved out to LA. But I wanted to know, like, how did your environment growing up in Hanford kind of like shape the comedy that you would later perform?
Yeah, I think the stuff that I do, the skits that I do are really just everything as I saw, as I always saw through my eyes in my life growing up, when, you know, on the public bus, on the cart bus, going to the store and getting some stuff or whatever, going to, all those experiences and working in fast food. I worked at a movie theater for a long time. And so I think these are all real moments. So for me, I feel really excited about being able to share these funny moments that a lot of us find universal.
Yeah.
That a lot of people can relate to, like, oh, I know. Exactly. I know the Where's My Hug At guy growing up. I know the Hot Cheeto girl. Like, those were... Because they, you know, they could be funny and everything, but like the Hot Cheeto girl was the girl that was defending you in class.
Yeah.
She was the advocate. Mm-hmm. Like, there's deeper elements to this thing, to this humor, is that these people were playing such a big part in our social upbringing.
Yeah.
And they're special people, and they're people that taught us how to navigate through life and how to laugh, even when we were all growing up with at least in Hanford, or my friends growing up, it was like we all had our moms. A bunch of our moms were working at the same tomato plant at Del Monte.
Wow.
A bunch of our dads were working in the fields and still in the fields, and so I think that's the special thing about comedy, is that now we can, you know, I think that when we're kids sometimes we are so busy because, you know, we sometimes our dad is getting up at 5 a.m. to go work in the fields, our mom is getting to her job at 6 a.m. and so I think now we can laugh about those things that maybe we weren't checked into right. when we were actually kids, because it wasn't, maybe we don't realize that we were kids.
Yeah.
Because we were doing adult things sometimes.
That's right. I mean, obviously journalism and then later comedy, but did becoming the journalist ever seem impossible as a kid?
Yeah, I think like becoming a journalist was so, I mean, everything, because it's like, it has to do with like approvals. You know, it's like when you get a job at, you know, I worked at Charlie's Philly Steaks for a while.
Oh, and so like, good.
Oh, bro, I can still.
The Chicken California.
Bro, with jalapenos and bacon.
Stop. And, we're going to go there after.
Let's go. Honestly, let's cut and let's go now.
Let's go. Got me hungry.
No, but damn, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Something about
as a kid, you know, looking up, it might have seemed impossible.
Yeah. The journalism part felt impossible because that was my point. That was my thought. You know, when you apply at a place like Charlie's, it's like, okay, maybe you're like in front of two people. Mm-hmm. And they say you're okay, maybe. But if you want to be a journalist, you got to be okay in front of multiple people and you know, some in some cases, like study groups and stuff like that. And so I think like that stuff seemed scary.
And obviously, you know, life changes, that change in career kind of like it took place. But for you, when did that switch kind of turn on in your head where it's, you know what, like I am going to pursue this full time. Like it's not impossible anymore. Like what was that for you?
Yeah, when I was in Reno and I started doing the content, I think after a certain amount of messages, I was so, it's like, I feel like people, there were certain people that would message me that felt like angels because I felt like they were, talking to God.
Interesting.
And because they were just saying things that I felt like I needed to hear in order to make a decision to just pursue this. And so I just feel like there was some people that I was just like, man, I think like,
it's like you're so hearing nice. It so often that it's kind of like, no, I think it's coming from somewhere.
Yeah. There was substance in it. There's a lot of people that were just so kind and just said like really nice things about the videos. And then there were other people that would DM me and just send like a paragraph of like what it did for them. And I just thought like, why? I felt like I got a lot of that from my heroes. Like my hero, you know, I always loved George Lopez. He was always like my direct, like, this is who I see myself in. But I think like my ultimate hero has always been Conan O'Brien.
Stop.
And shut up.
Wait, no, actually, no.
What?
I'm doing this because of Conan.
No, okay, on it. Let's pack up.
No, wait, that's crazy. Let's pack up. What was like, Conan, let's talk about that real quick.
No, let's talk about that the rest of the time.
Okay. No, but seriously, that's crazy. Conan.
Conan's the best.
Wow. Have you met him before? Is
the best. No. Have you?
I've met him once.
That's crazy. I've not met him.
I went, right before his show ended in 2016, I went to an episode.
Yeah.
And like right before the show, they like brought me on to like the stage. Like I have pictures. Like it was the craziest thing. I met Andy Richter. I met Conan briefly. And I got to tell him like, I'm doing this because of you. So like for me, like that's, it's really cool. But like the goal is to eventually like interview him and talk to him. But the fact that you liked him, what was it about Conan that kind of like you gravitated towards?
He's just the best. I thought that he was the funniest person. And I stand by this. I love the other guys. I love Jimmy Kimmel and
the Jimmies.
Stephen Colbert. I love them. But there's nobody in the world like Conan. And I, you know, and like Conan's so humble because he's always like, oh yeah, like he's always talking about Letterman and he's talking about like Carson and, you know, like putting them in this like place and like with, please, like no disrespect. Like, I'm like, you are better though.
Literally.
You are the best that has ever done it. Clearly the nicest, because I feel like a lot of people can fake being nice. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And I just think that Conan, when I watch him, he just has like this thing that just is so different. You can see his humility through his segments, his remotes in other countries. his new show coming out on Max. Like, I'll watch anything that he does because I can. He just has such a clown thing about him. Like, he just wants to be the joke. And I think someone like that is so special to not necessarily need to make fun of other people, but to just be it. And I think it just says so much about him and his upbringing. And I just, and so I don't want to meet him.
Oh no.
Conan, come on in.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine? Like, I don't want to meet him until I, like, this has been my goal, is I don't want to meet him until I have something to show, because I'm just so scared of it being such an empty meet. Like, cool, thanks, nice to meet you. Like, no, I want to have evidence. Like, you did this for me, and as a result, is this show that I have on?
Wow, that'd be so Netflix. Full circle. You know, I really hope that you do that.
I hope.
I think you will. I think you will. That's super cool.
I'll be Paige there right now, though.
Wow. He's the I mean, you mentioned briefly, like, about people being fake in this industry, right? This industry is notoriously fake. Mm. How do you remain so true to yourself in the midst of, like, so much fakeness?
Well, thankfully, I haven't really met anybody that's felt fake to me. I don't know. I feel like it's it can be easy to fake nice. Mm. But I don't know. I think for me, I don't know if I'll ever be able to really release that idea of, like, that, like, imposter feeling, you know? And so I think as long as you feel like an imposter, it's really hard to think that you're that cool.
That's true.
And so, like, I've never thought I was cool. And I know, like, when it comes to it, I only have followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you see it for what it is, literally. That's all it is.
Yeah. If they went away, if TikTok and Instagram left tonight, like,
it'd be fine.
Like, I'm mildly funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know, and I'm not saying that to be like a pick me and be like, no, correct me. Like, I'm saying for real, like, I'm not that cool. I'm just a normal, boring person that if this stuff went away, it'd still be me and my friends. So that's why it's hard to think you're ever that cool.
Yeah. Like, as a kid, right? If I give you a looking glass and you were able to see everything that you've accomplished thus far in these 4 years, what would that moment be that would, like, literally trip you out as a kid? Like, no way I did that.
I think those top moments would be like George Lopez, doing the podcast with him. I think it would be speaking at the White House. And I think just making friends with people that I was always watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still very much into the news, and I watch every White House press conference, no matter what. I'm not like political or anything. I'm just interested in, like, what's going on. So I think to have made friends with people who I watched, I think that would be such a shock for a little kid, Leo, who would just be like blown away.
How nervous were you about to get on that stage at the White House?
Oh, the White House was crazy. I was...
You know what? Like, tell us, how did that come together?
Well, I think, like, the first thing I did is they invited me for a dinner months before, which was it was to watch the Flamin' Hot movie that Eva Longoria directed.
Goat.
The
goat, real, the queen.
For real, the best. So they invited me to go watch that.
So pause. When you get that invite, are you, like, sitting there like, what the
heck? Oh, no, yeah, no. I remember I was at this coffee shop that I like here. I was getting my drink, and I remember seeing it, and I called my friend right away because they said I could bring a plus one, and I was like, oh, the hood is eating tonight. And so I was like, I called him right away and I was like, bro, like I need, like, please come with me. And like he does social media too, so he's free. And so I was like, please come with me. Like, this is real. Like, I looked at it's not a Gmail, like it's a real email. And it like says .gov. Like it's good. It says .gov. And it said, like, you know, you're invited to this reception, whatever. And I was like, bro, so I like got my ticket right away, got a hotel right away. We went to that and it was so sick. It was so nice. Wow. And we met so many like people who like a lot of people that were there were leaders of organizations across the country who work for huge causes in their communities, from like food banks to like immigration resources and just like change makers. So it was really special. And that was months before. And then, yeah, and then a few months later, they invited me for this reception. This was for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Crazy.
But this one, I had no plus one. So I was like, I might not go. Because I don't like to fly alone.
No,
like,
true.
I'm like, you know, I don't know. It's just like, I'm just like dumb kind of.
Wow.
So I was like, I don't know if I'm down to go for sure. But then I was like, you know what? Like, whatever. Like, let's just go. And like, if maybe like there'll be something there. And this is just to go to dinner. Yeah. Like, this is not to speak.
No talking. Yeah.
No, this is just for dinner. And so I was like, all right, bet. Like I flew there and I think I stopped in like North Carolina. And then I think my manager like he texted me and it was like, call me ASAP about White House. And I was like, what the hell? I was like, do they cancel it? Like if they canceled it, like tell me now so I can turn around. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, I don't wanna.
Wow.
And I called, he was like, yeah, they're asking if you would be willing to do like a speech. And I was like, just say yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. My thing is like, just say yes now and then like suffer later. About mm-hmm.
That's like, a great way to later. Approach life. Honestly. Yeah. You
know? Like cry later. And so I was like on my next flight, you know, from there is like fairly short. It's like from North Carolina. And so I was like, I just sat in there and I was like, tomorrow's the day.
I'll be on that stage. Like,
I'm going to be there. And I get to my hotel. I write the speech that night. They approve it in the morning. And I've never been that nervous in my life. Like, because I don't care about speaking in front of a class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at, like, education. Like, I'm not good. Like, I'm very not smart. It's just my memory is bad. But, like, I'm down to, like, be in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. And so, but that was so scary because I was like, what if I make a wrong move?
Yeah.
Like, what if I, like, hug her and, like, they think I'm hugging her tight and they tackle me? Like, I don't know.
All these, like, scenarios are popping up in your head. Like, what could go wrong? And I bet it went incredibly well.
My palms were, like, sweating. Mm-hmm. I was like, bro, I forgot how to walk. And then we started walking out there. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And it started, like, hitting me more and more. And I'm, like, standing there. And then I see, all these cameras. So I was like, oh, my gosh. What if I have a resting bitch face on? Because I do, like, most of the time. And and then we did it, and it was just like one of the best days, like such a core moment in my life. Yeah.
Like, there are two things that I want to say about that. I think the first thing,
imagine he's like, and you stuttered a little bit.
You moved around too much.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I think the same way that you looked up to George Lopez as a kid, like on that TV, I can guarantee that there was a kid that was watching that speech saying, you know what, like if he could do it, I could do it too. Mm. So that's the one thing. So I applaud you. Like, that's really cool. But number two, like, obviously, there was a little bit of fear. How did you overcome that fear, like, right before you walked on that stage?
Because, I mean, for me, like, everything's very, I feel like a lot of things that I've done in my life have been done through fear.
And it's made you stronger.
So it's like, I have to do it. Mm-hmm. I've never had the option. Like, it's like, I've struggled a lot with anxiety. I have really bad anxiety still. But it's like what I know about it is that it's still going to be there. And so I might as well do something cool even while my anxiety is thriving.
Yeah.
You know, my idea has always been like I'm scared of what my life would be if I never tried to do something because of my anxiety.
more people need to approach life with that mentality. I think literally, like, if you're scared, do it. Like, that's the sign. That's do it.
Yeah, I have a thing right here. My tattoo says, hazlo y si te da miedo, hazlo con miedo.
Exactamente, me encanta.
And, like, that's it. It's like, I'm going to be scared anyways. I'm going to be depressed anyways. Straight up. I might as well do it.
I love it. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned on this journey in the last 4 years?
My biggest lesson on this journey, oh, my gosh.
Pulling out the Univision for you.
I know. Dumb, I'm all trying to be deep, like, oh, my gosh. My biggest lesson, man, I think what I can think of right now has been to choose yourself, really to say yes to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that one thing that a lot of us can relate to is that we've been through stuff already.
Yeah,
we have allowed for certain moments. Negative moments in our lives to take such a prime realty spot in our mind that you deserve to say yes to you, to things that are nice and good. You know, you don't get more. You know, if you've spent a life of sadness and suffering or defeat, like, you don't get more points for suffering anymore. And so if we're willing to make space for those things that have not been well or done well, then you should go for the other side of that, which is so scary. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can be so used to being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But the other side of that mountain is really nice, even if it doesn't feel promising. I think that it is.
Yeah. What's the biggest fear that you had at the start of your career and the biggest fear now? Like, how do they compare?
Oh, low-key, they're the same. My biggest fear in the beginning, because when I came, I didn't have any resources. I got an apartment in Crenshaw with these two random guys that were also content creators. And my biggest fear at that point was, like, what if I don't come up with the rent? And, like, this whole thing is... Like, if, like, I'm done, like, I have everything to lose. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, I came from Reno. I had been in Reno only for a year before LA. So I was like, there's not a lot of options for me. What if this social media thing or this app fizzles out, mm-hmm, in general, or just for me, it collapses? I mean, that's always been, like, a fear, is that there's no promised security. There's no contract with me and TikTok or me and Instagram that says that they're going to put me in the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So you have to bet on yourself. And that's so scary when you are. Oh
my gosh, I'm so glad that you say that. Like, my whole thing, my whole motto is literally bet on you. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like, you won't, like, if you're scared to accomplish your biggest dreams, try it, bet on you, and then I'm sure you'll be so surprised at the fact of the matter that it worked out.
Yeah.
When's been another time in your life where you bet on yourself and it worked out when you thought it wouldn't?
You know, this home, when I first came here, I came here to buy... I think I came here to buy a TV off of the person that was living here.
Wow.
I had just
away.
Imagine, like, we're married now, honey. Imagine.
It'd be like that sometimes.
I had just gotten a one bedroom not too far from here. And the story's so long and crazy. But anyways, I was able to come here, and I kind of said yes to this place before I even knew that I had it. And I still had my other one, and it just worked out in such a crazy, perfect timing. And I just, you know, I'm so close to, like, geographically, I'm so close to where I wanted to be, the places that I dreamed of growing up. And I think that's such a special reminder for me when I'm driving home and I pass by these places that I just wrote essays about as a kid. And that's such a nice, such a nice shout out for like the younger we all.
What's been the greatest piece of advice that you've received in the last couple of years?
You know, I think that would probably be that that not every opportunity is meant to be like your make it moment. You know, there's a celebrity that early on followed me and shared me on their social media and kind of made some promises and that I can now look back on and understand that those things never needed to come true or be complete. It's really what they did for me by making me feel seen by them,
mm-hmm.
And recognized by that level of artist. Because I think when you first come to LA and you're green, it's like, oh my gosh, like this person just offered me this. Like, I'm about to have a show. I'm about to have go on tour. I'm about to have this. But those ultimately have been just these like cool moments of like being recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And that recognition sometimes can be just enough more water in your well to keep you going. So that's probably what has helped me out a lot, is just like, okay, cool.
All right.
This isn't going to be the end all, but it will be such an inspirational mm-hmm. step.
No, it's true. You know, there's definitely somebody that's watching this interview that's saying, you know what, like I want to be in their position. I would love to sit on that couch, or I would love to be, you know, make TikToks, or I'd love to interview. What piece of advice do you give them on that pursuit to accomplishing their dreams?
I think to just do it. Just be consistent about it, because obviously you've been doing this for such a long time and have been in really exciting rooms. And, you know, I can look back at my YouTube channel, and I was making videos when I was 11, and I was doing interviews of actors and you know, organizers. And so even though what I'm doing now isn't what I was doing at that time, it's still in the neighborhood of it.
Yeah.
And so my box is still getting checked. My cup is still getting filled because I was always doing some form of what I get to do now. And so I think as long as you love it and you're the one, and obviously you know about this, about like locking yourself away when maybe there's other things to go to and there's parties
mm-hmm.
to go to and events. But when you're like in there and you're editing your thing or whatever it is, you're doing your music or you're training for something, like just do that. You know, there's that idea that like if you are writing a book and you write a page a day, then you're going to have your book at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as long as you just start and like, not be afraid of, you know, what people are going to think or how they'll look at you, because that becomes smaller and smaller as you find more peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like seriously, if you're watching this and you want to be on this couch, or you want to be like Leo, or you want to be like me, seriously, just take action, bet on you, and do it. Like I'm telling you, you'll be so happy that you did take the action. And in 6 months, a year, you'll literally be like, oh my gosh, like if I didn't take those steps, I wouldn't be here right now. And if I didn't take those steps years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here next to Leo. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like, that's the secret sauce. I wanted to like leave on this. What's next for Leo? Like shoot for the stars. Like what is it?
You know, I really have such a dream of having my own production company now, and you know I want to keep acting and I want to learn, you know, how to master it and be better at it, so that I can just do everything, you yeah. know, everything that in production I you know, you do front of camera, you do back of camera. I think that's such an exciting thing to be able to do for work what you already always did for fun anyways. And so that's what I want to keep doing. And I want to help out other people and just collaborate with other people on producing things, you know, and being on stage and stuff. I love like it. That. Just now that you know, when you enter a certain room that you didn't even think you would ever be in, it's like, okay, well, cool. There's a bunch of different stations to get to. And so that's what I want to do.
I love it. I really do. Are you working on anything right now that you want to plug?
Not right now. Currently nothing. I think later we can talk about it. You know, obviously there's a thing that I just shot, and then hopefully a podcast coming soon. But yeah, I think right now we're just trying to see. We're trying to get in where we fit in.
I love it. Leo, where can people find you?
At my house.
I'll put your address on the screen.
Actually, just click here. It'll take you straight to the map.
I'll do that for you.
Anywhere on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Leo Gonzal.
I'm Andro Mamo. I'm so happy today I went one-on-one with Mr. Leo Gonzalez. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything. Seriously, I loved it.
Thank you.
See you guys soon.